إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، نرحب بكم جميعا أيها الأحبة. I'd like to welcome all of you once again. And in class of tonight, we'll continue a reading from the explanation of the 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi from the book Al-Minha al-Rabbaniya fi Sharh al-Arba'in al-Nawawiya by our noble Shaykh العلامة الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. Tonight we're going to try to finish reading to you the explanation of the hadith number 19 that we started last week or a couple of weeks ago. This is the third part of this hadith, hadith number 19. عن أبي العباس عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال: كنت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال: يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات، احفظ الله يحفظك، احفظ الله تجده تجاهك، إذا سألت فاسأل الله، وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله، واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك، ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك، رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. رواه الترمذي وقال: حديث حسن صحيح. وقد تقدم شرح هذا. وفي رواية غير الترمذي: احفظ الله تجد أمامك، تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة، واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك، وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك، واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر، وأن الفرج مع الكرب، وأن مع العسر يسرا. I'm going to read to you once again this hadith before we go ahead and read to you the portion that we still have to go ahead and read to you as from the explanation of our beloved Shaykh, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, on the authority of Abu al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. One day, I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said to me, O young man, I shall teach you some words of advice. Be mindful of Allah, and as we learn from the explanation of the Shaykh, is act upon the deen of Allah, learning it from its proper sources, the book of Allah, the sound sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and with the correct understanding that of the Salaf al-Salih, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the first place, those best generation, and whoever follow them upon that good. So if we do this, if we be mindful of Allah by adhering to what He has legislated, by acting upon what He commands to the best of our abilities, and staying away from prohibitions, and turning to Allah with repentance and asking for forgiveness for our shortcomings and our sins and disobedience, Allah will protect you. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said to this young man. Be mindful of Allah and Allah will protect you. Be mindful of Allah and you will find Him in front of you, meaning through His knowledge, and He will assist you, not physically Allah be in front of you. If you ask Allah, if you seek help of Allah. Know that if the nation were to gather together to benefit you with anything, it would benefit you only with something that Allah had already prescribed for you. And you should know also that if they gather together to harm you with anything, they would harm you only with something Allah had already prescribed for you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried. In another version, the Prophet ﷺ said, be mindful of Allah, you will find Him before you. Get to know Allah in prosperity, and He will know you in adversity. Know that what has passed you by, was not going to befall you, and that what has befallen you was not going to miss you or pass you by. And know that victory comes with patience, relief comes with affliction, and ease comes with harsh. Now, we're going to go ahead and read to you the explanation of the last part in this narration. قال وفي الرواية الثانية قال صلى الله عليه وسلم تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. In this hadith, in the English translation as you see, they say get to know Allah. Get to know Allah in the times of ease, and Allah know you in the times of adversity. So this is like the literal translation. And that's why we need the ulama and the scholars to tell us what does it mean. When you hear get to know, it's not like when we get to know each other. The Shaykh says, يعني كن قريبا من الله في جميع أحوالك بالطاعة. لأن الطاعة هي التي تقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. ليس المعاصي. المعاصي تبعد عن الله. التوحيد يقرب إلى الله. السنة تقرب إلى الله. الشرك يبعد. البدع تبعد عن الله. السنة تقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. What does it mean, this segment and this portion? Be closer to Allah. Do things that get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to do this in all of your affairs. Not just in a masjid, you do things that get you closer to Allah. At home, now you're not doing anything. When you're around the people, now you're doing things, you're saying things that get you closer to Allah. But when you're alone and you think you're alone, you're not doing that. No, in all of your affairs. And of course, when we know that the things that get us closer to Allah is those things that Allah has made obligatory upon us. As it comes in a hadith, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My servant does not get closer to me by doing anything better than that which I have made obligatory upon him. The Shaykh says, فِي حَالِ رَخَائِكَ وَعَدَمِ حَاجَتِكَ لَا تَلْتَفِتْ عَنِ اللَّهِ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. The Shaykh says, this is the way you should be. Do things that get you closer, draw you closer to Allah. In times of ease and times of adversity. When you're in need, because certain people, they turn to Allah only when they need. When they're in trouble, oh, as the Shaykh is going to mention later on, oh Allah, oh Allah. No, it has to be all time. Whatever you do, you got to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. لا تلتفت عن الله جل وعلا. Your heart should not be away from your Lord, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كن قريبا من الله بطاعتك وترك بطاعته وترك معصيته. The Shaykh, he says, now he's telling us the things that get us closer to Allah. How are you going to get closer to Allah? By acting upon His obedience and staying away from disobedience. That's what's going to get us closer to Allah. Not our skin colors, not our nationalities, our countries. Even if a person is born in Saudi Arabia, by Mecca, still, if he's not acting upon obedience to Allah, his lineage is not going to get him closer. As the Prophet ﷺ says, مَنْ بَطَّأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. The one who his actions keep him back, far way back, his lineage won't move him in the front. Things that move us in the front and get us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the actions, obedience to Allah. Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahu ta'ala was listening to him today, one of his class, and he mentioned the taqwa, and he was talking about taqwa, 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 taqwa. He said, this is what gets you closer to Allah, regardless who you are, what color you're in, what country, what lineage. And he mentioned the ayah, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah. Powerful statement. And he says, because Allah says, indeed, the most honorable of you in Allah's sight, with Allah, those who have more taqwa. And you know, the taqwa is to act upon the commands of Allah and to stay away from the prohibitions. Doing all of this by adhering to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. So the Shaykh says, you're going to do this. You're going to try to get closer to Allah by being obedient to Him and stay away from disobeying Him. And he mentioned the ayah in Surah Al-Alaq. قَالْ كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَرَّآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. Indeed, in Surah Al-Alaq, indeed, human beings transgress the boundaries. The human beings see himself sufficient, self-sufficient. Don't need no help. قَالْ فَإِذَا اسْتَغْنَى الْإِنسَانُ نَسِيَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِحَاجَةٍ إِلَى اللَّهِ. The Shaykh says, look, if a person believes that he don't need Allah, or he's sufficient, then he forgets about Allah. He forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Safety. The Shaykh Hafidhahullah, he says, when a person thinks that they got it, they can do it on their own, they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nasi Allah. And that person, they think that they don't need Allah. Wal'iyadu billah. فَإِذَا مَرِدَ لَجَاءَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. But that same person, when they sick, now they know Allah. Oh Allah, cure me. Oh Allah, see? وَإِذَا صَحَّ وَشُفِيَ نَسِيَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. The same person, Allah cured them. What they do? They forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they sick, oh Allah, if you help me, oh Allah, in this one, if you get me through this, oh Allah. Oh Allah, if you get me through this, oh Allah, I'll be in the masjid. I know I'm this. As soon as they are cured again, they're gone. Doing the same thing. May Allah protect us from such thing. فَهَذِهِ حَالَ سَيِّئَةَ تَدُلُّ عَلَى ضَعْفِ الْإِيمَانِ. He says the condition of this person, this behavior, is very bad indeed. It's very bad behavior and etiquette with Allah. As you know, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, amongst many of our noble scholars, when they talk about the etiquette, they say that the best etiquette is the etiquette with Allah. That's the etiquette with your parents, with your neighbor, with your father, with your this and that. Nah, that's a good thing. Of course, you have to display the etiquettes, the good etiquettes with your neighbors, with your parents, with your husband, wife, children. But the best, the most important etiquettes is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh, he says, this is a very bad etiquette and behavior when a person knows Allah only in times of difficulty. When they're going through difficulty, oh Allah, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rahman, they don't listen to music at that time. They be reading Quran. Oh Allah, they pray. And as soon as Allah get them out of that, what they do is instead to be grateful and continue on that path, now they turn back and forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says this very bad behavior, it's because of the weakness of iman. That's why. People are weak in their iman. Yeah, Elias. لا بأس يا أخي تعال اجلس. It is a weakness of iman because that person, they have weak iman. That's why they act like this. فقوله يعرفك في الشدة يعني إذا وقعت في خطر وفي شدة وأنت مطيع لله في حالة الرخاء فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُنْقِذُكَ بِأَعْمَالِكَ الصَّالِحَةِ. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he explained to us this, as you see, literally it means if you know Allah in the times of ease, meaning if you will do what gets you closer to Allah, by being obedient to Allah, stay away from disobedience when you're healthy, when things are going good for you, okay, you're not going through hardship. Allah, as they literally they say, Allah will know you in time of difficulty. What does it mean? The Shaykh said it means if you fall into any danger, you encounter any danger, You find yourself going through some very difficult time, in a hardship. And keep in mind, we're human beings. And we're subjected to these things. We go through hardship. We encounter and face danger. But that's what it means. If you go through any of these things, danger, difficulties, hardship, but you, as a servant of Allah, you were obedient to Him in the times before these difficulties come your way. Before you encounter that danger, when things was easy for you, alhamdulillah, things going smooth, you were obedient to Allah. Now Allah will protect you and save you from those hardships and from that danger because of your righteous action that you have performed before. He says, مثل حديث أصحاب السخرة. And the Shaykh mentioned as an example, those men who they were on a journey, and then they were in a place in a cave, and then this rock came and closed the entrance or the door. انطبقت عليهم الصخرة في الغار ولم يستطيعوا الخروج. While they were in the cave, they can't leave. A rock that they cannot, three of them, they cannot push the rock away. They cannot move it. Heavy. لكن لما كانت لهم أعمال صالحة سابقة فرج الله عنهم. What get them out? Righteous actions. These are people used to do righteous actions before, not at that time. Not in the cave when the Sakhra, oh, let's read some Quran, let me pray. No. The Prophet ﷺ didn't tell us that these three men, one of them began to recite Quran at that moment, the other one began to pray, and the other one, I don't know. La. These are people before, regularly, in their daily life, they were obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were doing righteous actions. Being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's okay, inshallah. Huh? Still, لا بأس. Don't worry about it. أي نعم. قال فهذا توسل إلى الله ببر والديه ببره بوالديه. And the Shaykh gave us, he didn't give us the hadith, but he mentioned, what is this action that these people do? One of them, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he makes tawassul, as the ulama from the Shaykh al-Albani rahimahu wa ta'ala, they mentioned that it is permissible to make tawassul through your righteous actions. Not through the graves and this, that's haram. Tawassul, it is from it that which is permissible and that which is forbidden and that which is shirkul al-iyadu billah. This one is permissible. Somebody is in trouble, he knows, and somebody was doing something good, at that moment he says, oh Allah, if that which I was doing, I did it for you, oh Allah, help me in this case. Let's say somebody here, this man, one of them, he was kind and dutiful to his parents. Look how important to be dutiful to one's parents, and to respect your parents, to be nice and kind to them. وهذا توسل إلى الله جل وعلا بتركه الزنا خوفا من الله. Another man, he has left fornication والعياذ بالله for the sake of Allah, not because he was afraid he's going to get caught by the police or people may say something. No, he says أعوذ بالله, he left it for Allah. وهذا توسل إلى الله بأمانته وحفظه لأجرة الأجير الذي ترك أجرته عنده وذهب حفظها له ونماها فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَعْطَاهُ إِيَّهِ فَفَرَّجَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. The third one, he supplicates and mentions one of his righteous deeds that he did for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is that? This man, he hired certain people. And one of those people left before he collect his wages. When you hire people, you know, you got to give them their wages. This man left. What this man do? He didn't say, oh, he left like other people may do. Okay, they just consume it. And then when the man come later on and say, well, that's your fault, man. I have it, but you didn't want it. I thought you didn't want it. It doesn't work like this. That's still the man's right. But this man, not only that he hold it to him, save it for him, actually he invested for him. He invested for him. And he became a lot of wealth. Subhanallah. So when the man, after a while, came back and says, you remember me? I worked for you, and I left before I get paid. Now I want my pay. The man said to him, all of this property is yours. The man says, subhanallah, that's not just, I worked for one day. He says, yes, but I invested for you. It's all yours. Take it. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the in the hadith, whenever one of them make a dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the sahra, that rock, to be moved, but still they couldn't get out. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a way for them, and they walked. والله جل وعلا يقول عن أصحاب الجنة إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك أي في الدنيا محسنين. سبحان الله. Then the Shaykh mentioned another example in Surah Al-Dhariyat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of Jannah. May Allah make me anew from the memory. The people of Jannah who Allah allowed them to dwell in the Jannah. Nobody can remove them from it. SubhanAllah. You're in the Jannah, that's it, for life, for good, forever, for eternity. Not for life. For life now, somebody thinks like this life. No, actually that was not a good translation. For eternity, yahwa. خالدين فيها أبدا. No people don't die in it, no get sick, don't have to worry about somebody come and tell you, listen, this is my property, the lease is out, my brother gonna move in. None of that. You're there, nobody gonna move you. You don't have to worry. We have an ayah that says you don't even have to worry that one day you're gonna be kicked out or something. But what these people of the Jannah, how they get to the Jannah? Allah tells us in Surah Al-Dhariyat, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ مُحْسِنِينَ. سبحان الله. يعني قال في الدنيا. Verily, they were before good doers. The Shaykh says before, what does it mean? Meaning in the dunya, in this life. They were obedient to Allah. They were righteous people, good doers that do good deeds, such as قال الله تعالى كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون. They used to sleep but a little by night. Some doing what? It's not like some people, they don't sleep all night. Not just some people stay up all night. But these people, what they did while they sleep? Invoking their Lord Allah and praying with fear and hope. Some people, they stay all night watching something, talking, backbiting other people. Now these people, they stay a large portion of the night making ibadah, getting closer to Allah. كانوا قليلا من الليل ما يهجعون وبالأسحار هم يستغفرون. And in the hours before dawn, they were found asking Allah for forgiveness. Asking Allah for forgiveness. Not like others doing something things. The kuffar, they be taking their dogs out. You see them when we coming for Fajr? Yeah, ilaha illallah. Adab in this dunya. They get up for the dog, but they don't get up for their Lord. La hawla la quwwata illa billah. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقُّ لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. And in their properties, there was the right of the sa'il, the beggar, who asked, and the mahrum, the poor who does not ask others. These are their actions. قَالَ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ وَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا. نعم. In this life, they didn't count on their skin, on their nationalities, on now we're going to go there. No, they used to do these actions of righteousness. Not like the Murji'a and the Sufiya. They're like, look man, as long as you believe in the heart and that's all you need. No, that's wrong. You have to have belief in the heart and that's not enough. And you have to do it with the tongue and you have to do righteous deeds. Sufiya, the Murji'a and them, they're like, no, as long as you believe with your heart, you pray, don't pray, fast, don't fast, give zakah, don't steal, fornication, music, Quran, it's all the same. No, it's not the same. Very important. You gotta do righteous actions. That's why you find many people, they're reluctant. They don't know the importance of doing righteous actions. Why? Because of this wickedness of Sufis, Sufiya. Just do whatever you wanna do. Allah ghafur rahim ya khiyan. Allah is ghafur. The Jannah is vast. Yeah, okay, the Jannah is vast, but does it mean everybody gonna get there? No, Allah mentioned who are those people and mentioned to us their qualities in the Quran so that we can act upon it. The Shaykh mentioned another example. قال الله جل وعلا في يونس عليه السلام صاحب الحوت in Surah As-Safat. Okay? In Surah As-Safat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us the story of Yunus alayhi salam, Nabiullah, the Prophet of Allah, Yunus, the companion of the big fish. What is it called?
Whale.
The whale. The big fish.
Whale.
The big fish. The whale. Okay. Zakallah khair. Tayy. Was it the whale? Because I don't know. Quran says al-hoot could be the whale, right? I don't know how it's translated into English. That's why it says sahib al-hoot, the big fish. Tayyib. Because if somebody's going to say the whale, I don't know. Because al-hoot is a big fish. And there's a lot of big fish out there. Could be this one or the other one. Maybe the whale, whatever. But this is a big fish, al-hoot. Because he was what? Yunus?
Swallowed.
He was swallowed by the al-hoot, by this big fish. But did he stay there or Allah get him out, made a way for him? Allah made a way out of him. He got out. He was inside, in the belly of this big fish, in the water. As a human being, even if some fish swallow me, for example, may Allah protect me. And that fish took me away in the deep of the ocean, and that fish, by Allah's will, decide to let me go. So what's going to happen to me? Right in the middle of the ocean? See? But Allah protected Yunus alayhi salam and made a way out for him and brought him to safety. Allah tells us, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ سبحان الله. فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. Had he not been of them, of those who glorify Allah. يعني كان من المصلين في حالة الرخاء. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he says, what does it mean? It means he used to pray, perform prayers. In the times of ease. Before, he didn't know that the fish is going to come and get him or nothing, but he was praying. We too, we don't pray only, oh, let me pray just in case or something happened to me. No, you don't pray with this intention. You perform actions of obedience to Allah because we are commanded and also we have to do it out of love, ya ikhwan. Because Allah commands us only with that which is better for us. قال للبيث في بطني بطنه إلى يوم يبعثون. Had he not been of those who used to pray and glorify Allah in their times of ease, he would have indeed remained inside his belly. The fish, here they say, in the translation of the Quran, in the belly of the fish, till the day of resurrection. Ayna. أنجاه الله بسبب أعماله الصالحة التي أسبقها. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafizahullah ta'ala, he says, this is a Nabi Allah, a prophet of Allah. Allah saved him because of the righteous actions he did before this moment of difficulty and hardship. قال فالمسلم يعرف الله جل وعلا في الشدة والرخاء. The Sheikh says the Muslim, he's obedient to Allah in the times of ease and times of difficulty. That's the Muslim. The Muslim is always obedient. He says, look, that's why I'm a servant of Allah. Allah created me, fashioned me in the best form, provide me with endless bounties, things that come only from Him. Can't put no price. Can He put price on your life? SubhanAllah. If Allah take your soul, you're done. History. X-file now. Rahimahullah. And you're not coming back. Can He put a price on your soul? And as we mentioned before, you're a human being not because of your body, it's because of your soul. فَأَنْتَ بِالنَّفْسِ إِنسَانُ فَأَنْتَ بِالنَّفْسِ لَا بِالْجِسْمِ إِنسَانُ. You're a human being because of your soul, not just because of your body. If the soul is gone, it's nothing. What is a human being? Can move, can talk, can see, can nothing. So you show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of ease and times of difficulty. قَالْ أَمَّا الْكَافِرُ فَلَا يَعْرِفُ اللَّهِ إِلَّا فِي حَالَةِ الشِّدَّةِ. As for the disbeliever, they know Allah only in the times of difficulty and hardship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about that in the Quran in Surah Al-Isra, verse 67, وَإِذَا مَسَّكُمُ الضُّرُّ فِي الْبَحْرِ ضَلَّ مَنْ تَدْعُونَ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاكُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ أَعْرَضْتُمْ. The translation of this ayah here in Surah Al-Isra, and when harm touches you upon the sea, those that you call upon vanish, meaning the false idols, false gods, false deities, vanish from you except Him, Allah alone. They don't call upon them. See the mushrikeen, when they are in the sea, and then a storm comes in, big waves, and they see themselves in a big trouble. You think they say, oh, Hubal? They be calling upon their idols? They be calling upon that tree? What they say? Oh, Allah. They don't say, oh, Hubal, Manat, Uzza. Now, that's on the shore. When Allah get them close, as Allah tells us in the Quran. But when He brings you safe to land, you turn away from Him, and man is ever ungrateful. May Allah make us grateful. The Shaykh says, إِذَا وَقَعَ الْكُفَّارُ فِي الْخَطَرِ أَخْلَصُ الدُّعَاءَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِّ. أَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنُ فَهُوَ يَعْرِفُ اللَّهَ فِي كُلِّ الْأَحْوَالِ فِي حَالِ رَخَائِهِ وَفِي حَالِ شِدَّتِهِ. The Shaykh says, the kafir, the disbeliever, when they are in danger, they sincere now. They make dua only for Allah. They call upon Allah, oh Allah, help us. As for the believer is sincere with his Lord in times of ease and in times of difficulty. I want to share with you a statement of Shaykh al-Islam, al-Imam al-Mujaddid, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book, Al-Qawa'id al-Arba'ah. And he mentioned that مُشْرِكُ زَمَانِنَا أَشَدُّ شِرْكًا مِنْ مُشْرِكِ ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ. He says that the mushrikeen, those who are committing shirk, they say Allahu Akbar and they pray and fast Ramadan, some of them maybe made hajj, but they commit shirk. They can still commit shirk by calling upon other than Allah. They go to some grave and say, oh so-and-so help him, oh so-and-so help her, oh so-and-so cure her mother, oh so-and-so grant her children because she can get... Allah, He's the one who cure. Allah, He's the one who help and assist and give children to whom He will. See? Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, this mushrikeen of this time, even though they say La ilaha illallah, but they don't know what it means, and they commit shirk, they worse, their shirk is worse than the shirk of those people in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Somebody may say, that's That's how could it be happen? They pray, man. They fast. They, subhanAllah, they say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. They say they Muslims. The Sheikh explained. He says, because those people in that time of the Prophet ﷺ, those mushriks, as Allah tells us in the Quran, and there is an ayah we just read to you, they commit shirk only in times of ease. In times of ease, oh, hubal, oh, tree, oh, cow, whatever. But in times of difficulty, when it's serious, they turn to Allah. These guys of this time, Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, also he talks about them, he says, they commit shirk in times of ease and times of difficulty. Actually, their shirk in times of difficulty is worse. When they are really in difficulty, they camp at the grave of that person. They camp. They don't just say it from their home, oh, so-and-so. No, they travel. And they take with them sacrifice. 3 cows and 2 camels. How many goats? They commit many actions of shirk. Not just dua. The dua, tadarru', khashya, khawf, dhabh, nadhr. They combine many actions of shirk. Wal'iyadu billah. And that's true. Unfortunately, wal'iyadu billah. ثم قال الشيخ قال صلى الله عليه وسلم واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, you should know that victory come with ease. قال الشيخ الفوزان الإنسان يبتلى في هذه الحياة. He says, as a human being, what did they say? A patience. واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر. أحسنت. Patience. With patience, sabr. Insan, as a human being, we are going to be tested in this life. We're going to put to trials and tests. فَتَعْرِضُ لَهُ أَلَامُ وَمَشَاقُ وَمَكَارِهِ. Says, as a human being, you're going to face some problems, difficulties, things you dislike, things you don't want it to come your way. Pains, suffering. You're going to suffer sometimes. Nobody wants to suffer. If you ask anyone, you want to stay up all night today with the pain? And you know, maybe all of us, if not maybe most of us, or at least some of us, we went through that, right or wrong? You know, right? You've been up a couple hours and you're in pain. What do you do at that time? Oh Allah. Allahu Akbar. Ya Rabbi Al-Alameen. Oh Allah. لكن عليه بالصبر. But now, what we do at that time? Patience. لأن الشدائد تزول ولا تدوم. Why? Because if you see yourself, you going through some hardship, let's say you're 50 years old now. Out of those 50 years old, all of those 50 nights, every one of them, you were in pain? Huh? No. Pain comes for an hour maybe. Others for a couple hours. Some other people the whole night. Some 2 nights. But then, does it stay the whole time? No, it goes away. And Allah give you months, maybe years of ease and nice sleep. Then you get sick again and you go through some hardship maybe for an hour or two, a minute or two, a day or two, a week or two, and then Allah give you months, maybe years of prosperity and ease and health. Yeah, subhanAllah. That's why the Shaykh says, الشدائد تزول. The hardship comes, but they go. They go away. ولا تدوم. They don't stick with us and فيقابل الشدائد بالصبر عليها حتى يزيلها الله عنه. Now what you do, the believer, what the believer do in the times of difficulty and hardship? Patience. He don't come up with his own idea and start saying things and making poor decisions and making bad statements which is going to harm him later on. No, he's patient. Why? Because he knows that these difficulties, they're going to go away. Allah is going to take them away. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا يجزع ولا يسخط أما إذا جزع الإنسان وسخط فإن الله يخذله. يعني يتخلى عليه. تخلى عنه. person, the believer, is patient. Continue to be upon obedient. Say only that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do that which is pleasing to Allah. And then he's going to go away. But if the person turn and try to do it his way, why me? This is not right. A'udhu billah. These are very, very, very serious statements. We don't say why me, oh Allah, from all these people. You are patient. But if a person is not patient, that person will lose Allah's assistance and protection. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن الفرج مع الكرب وعلم أن الفرج مع الكرب. That relief is with affliction. قال كلما اشتد الكرب تطلع إلى الفرج. هذا العبد لماذا؟ لأن فرج الله قريب. The Sheikh says the believer, the more things become intense on him, he's going through some difficulty. Of course, when we go through difficulty, we turn to Allah and we ask Allah, oh Allah, get us out of this. But then now, sometimes, it gets even worse. Some people, they're like, oh, that's it. My dua is not answered. And they want to go do it the other way. No, actually, look at the fiqh, ya ikhwan. That's why we need the ulama. The fiqh, the right fiqh now, when things start to get difficult, you should know that the relief is coming, is close. Subhanallah, is close. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى فإن مع العسر يسرى إن مع العسر يسرى. In Surah Al-Sharh, indeed with difficulty, there is ease. Indeed, with the difficulty, there is ease. And also in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 214, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ هَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. This is not just you and me that going through some hardship. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and with him the best of this ummah, the companions, they went through a lot of hardships. That me and you, we didn't even go through none of that. Like we, like just a toothache, man. That's all our problem now. They were facing armies, and they were new. They were few. They don't have. They're not equipped like materials, but they have iman, faith. They have with them the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Allah still said about them, I'm going to read to you the whole ayah so you can understand the context of what the Sheikh mentioned. Or do you think that you will enter paradise without such trials as came to those who passed away before you? They were afflicted with severe poverty and ailments and were so shaken that even the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who believed along with him said, when will come the help of Allah? Subhanallah. When will come the help of Allah? Yes, certainly the help of Allah is near. Yes, certainly the help of Allah is near. قال فإذا اشتد الأمر فاعلم أن فرج الله قريب ولا تيأس ولا تقنط من رحمة الله. He says, when things get worse, you were hoping that that's it. You're not going to worry about it anymore. Now it intensify, get even bigger. You should know that the faraj Allah, the help of Allah is near. The help of Allah is near. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Never, ever. The believer, do not despair. The believer never say, how is patient for 3 days? That's it. Nothing happening for me. I will do with that. The help of Allah is near. قال وقد خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم مسرورا فرحا وهو يضحك ويقول لن يغلب عسر يسرين لن يغلب عسر يسرين. قال فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا. He said once the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came out upon the companions and he was very happy, smiling, and he say, one difficulty could not overpower two eases. Two ease. And he mentioned the ayah, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. العسر مرة واحدة لأنه معرف بالألف واللام فهو عسر واحد. How I understand? Because العسر is mentioned in both ayats, إن مع العسر with ألف واللام is the same one in the other ayah. Because معرف, because it's definite. أما اليسر, أما العسر, قال العسر فهو واحد, العسر, العسر بالعين, العسر. Maybe I made mistakes with اليسر. العسر, the difficulty. Since Allah mentioned, Allah didn't say, indeed, مع عسر يسرى. Allah said, مع العسر, with the difficulty comes what? Ease. Allah didn't say come the ease. You see now what I'm talking about? This grammar now. He says the yusr, he came nakira. Nakira. غير معرف. There is no alif al-lam. Allah didn't say inna ma'a al-usri al-yusru. La. So therefore that yusr that is repeated in both ayats is two of them. They're two different ones, not just one. So with one difficulty there is two ease, ya akhwan. قال وهذا من فضل الله سبحانه وتعالى. And this is from the first, from the mercy of Allah and the rahmah of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. قال فدل ذلك على أن الإنسان ينبغي له أن لا يضيق به الأمر أبدا ولا يقنط من رحمة الله وأن يتوقع الخير من الله دائما وأبدا. The Sheikh said this is a strong proof, this is a proof that as a human being it is incumbent upon us never despair from Allah سبحانه وتعالى, from His mercy. But we should always await the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And good, it's coming. When? That's not for me. It's coming. That's what we say to ourselves, to our family. We're in difficulty. They start, what happened? What's going to happen to us? Don't worry. It's coming. When it's coming? We didn't see it. Allah says it's coming. That's all we have to do. He come today, tomorrow, next month. That's not our concern. Allah is going to give it to us the time and the place He sees good for us. I'm going to read to you or share with you a story I read in a book. One of the Salaf, one of the great Salaf, I forget his name. His daughter saw him sad. He was very sad. He's a sheikh. Very sad. Crying. And she was a righteous daughter. She came to him and said, Father, why are you crying? He said to her, Hajj is in. I don't have enough money to make Hajj. She said to him, why don't you go to Hajj? He said to her, I don't have enough money to make it and come back. And I don't have what to live with you until I come back. She says, Tawakkal ala Allah ya Abi. She said, put your trust in Allah, Abi. Allah will take care of you and will take care of us. So he gathered the family and told them, I'm going to go. And they were like, no, how are you going to go? Are you going to leave us with nothing? No, you're going to stay. But the daughter, the righteous one, she's smiling. She's like, no, go, go, Father. We continue after the Adhan, inshallah. So the righteous daughter, because of knowledge and iman, taqwa, she said, go in. So he left. There was this group of people in his area. They were living, he went. And he's in the back of the caravan. As they go in, days go by. One of the rich people and one of the leaders in that caravan go and make Hajj. He got stung by a scorpion or something. And they're like, anybody to the ruqya? Somebody say, we have the sheikh with us. He's in the back. Bring the sheikh. They brought him. The ruqya, alhamdulillah. The man is good. He says, look, you're with me. Your hajj and everything is on me. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha. Then, as he went, Lot took care of him, alhamdulillah. Now, whatever he left, a little bit of money with the family, as days go by, I said, it's gone. Now they're going through hardship, they're hungry. Now the mother and the other, they turn against the daughter. See, you're the one that convinced him to go. Now look where we at. We're going to die. And she's smiling. You smiling? She said, of course. Allahu Akbar. This is good for us. SubhanAllah. Amen. And then while they're like that, somebody knocking at the door. So do you have any water? They said, of course we have water. We have water. So they give him a nice bucket of water, fresh water from the well. They give it to that person. He went. He came back. Says, SubhanAllah, this is the best water. We never drink. Who was that? Who was the ruler? The ruler of the area passing by, they have no water. He's like, who are these people? He take out, the ruler has this hizam. What do you call hizam? Like a belt or pouch full of jewelry and gems. And then the people, his entourage with him, because that's maybe used to be the custom. If the ruler does something, they have to do it too. To show that they are on the same page. They all give. SubhanAllah, that family, they were like, no, they all smiling and laughing and happy. The righteous girl, she's crying. They're like, SubhanAllah, amruki ajeeb. Your affairs are amazing. When we were going through hardship, you're smiling. We had nothing. We're crying, you're laughing and smiling. Now we have all of this. We're rich. This stuff, we're not going to finish until we die. Now you're crying? She said, I'm not crying because of this. No, she's crying because she knows. Ikhwan, you trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do what you got to do. As now, subhanAllah, if we bring you the statements of the Salaf, we may shift the class. But I'm going to share with you this one too. I read it in yesterday, actually, 2 days ago, I was reading in Imam al-Bahabi's book, Sir Alam al-Nubala, one of the people of the past, Hatim al-Asam. And they used to call him in his time, Luqmanu Asrihi, Luqmanu of his time. You know Luqman al-Hakim in Surah? Because this man was so righteous and zahid. And one of the things he says, they ask him a question. They said to him, we seen you, man, this tawakkul, you got it. But how you get to this tawakkul? How? How you know? He said, because of four things. Me, I'm going to share with you only one because of the lack of time. Okay, maybe another time give you the other ones. Four things. What is this four things? The first one, he said to them, I know that whatever Allah provides for me, nobody can touch it and get it from me. So that's why I don't have to worry about that. Allahu Akbar. He says, my rizq that Allah has written for me, nobody will get it but me. So I don't have to worry about it. I got to do what I have to do to get it. That's it. Hey, subhanAllah, tawakkul, ya akhwan. Tayyib. So the Shaykh, he says, we should not. The believer does not despair from Allah and say, why me? What I'm going to do now? What are you going to do? Continue to do what you were doing before hardship. Obedient to Allah. Righteous. Do what Allah commands you to do. And always think good about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال ليس هناك أحد في هذه الدنيا سالم بل لا بد أن يحصل عليه شيء من البلاء. The Shaykh says, nobody is exempt from this trials and everybody have little bit of it or more. Nobody is exempt from hardship and trials and the like. فإن أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. The Shaykh says, actually, those amongst the people, the creation, the human beings who are put to trust, to trials, the most are the prophets. And then those who come after them in iman. As the ulama, they says, whenever you're strong in iman, Allah is going to test you. So he says, in these times of hardship, patience. We don't just start saying things and making poor decisions that will harm us later on. Patience. فَإِنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبْرِ. Victory is with patience. وَالْفَرَجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ. Affliction, relief is with what? With affliction. وَالْعُسْرِ. Difficulty, you be patient. Don't try the haram. Some people, they go through difficulty. No, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to... He called now somebody. You see that whatever, that contract, now I can do it. That riba, I have to. No, you don't have to. You stay obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waiting from the yusr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال فهو سبحانه لا يترك عبده أبدا ولكنه يبتليه ليظهر صبره وتحمله وإيمانه بالله عز وجل. The Shaykh says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forsake his servant, period. But Allah tests the servant to see how patient that servant is. To test the iman. نعم. To test the iman. ثم قال الشيخ حفظه الله فهذا حديث عظيم ووصايا عظيمة وصى بها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الأمة بواسطة هذا الغلام المبارك. In conclusion, the Shaykh says, this is a great hadith that includes great وصايا, advices that the Prophet ﷺ has given to this blessed young man. And of course, as the Shaykh mentioned, they are not only for him, but they are for all of us. وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.